watch out of the way, but I don't want you to get hit in the head. You'll kill me. What am I supposed to do with this? You walk into this. Thank you so much, sweetie. Could you undo that? I'm spoiled. I'm a diva. Could you unzip this for me? You think I'm being mean, but honestly, with one hand, you can't really do that. So I could set the mic down, but thank you, sweetie. I'm not being a smart aleck. Too bad. God has an encouraging word for you today. God has an sometimes God corrects us, and we need that, and I need that, and that's actually my favorite kind of word. I really like to be corrected. That's just something in me. I don't know, but I feel like that's where growth comes from. You know, I really like it. Now, I don't always like it when it's one-on-one at the time. He's clearing his throat. Let me clear my throat. That's what he's doing over here.
I was wondering if you were going to clarify that.
But when I listen to preachers, I like to hear preachers to get on my feet a little bit. Otherwise, I feel like I'm wasting my time. I really don't like hearing people tell me what I already know or what I want to hear. That is a waste of time. I won't even listen to those people. I listen to people that make me uncomfortable, challenge me, make me look back at my word 3 or 4 times and feel convicted and feel lost by the end of the service. That's kind of what I like listening to, Johnny. But this morning, God's got a treat. Because I guess my good friend, my old former friend, used to say for every time you scald the sheep, you got to rub some lotion on them. So the Holy Spirit, I think, wants to comfort us this morning. He wants to encourage us this morning. It's July 4th, and I think I've got a word of encouragement the Holy Spirit wants me to share. He wants to pump you guys up, man. He wants to let you know how much he loves you. He wants to let you know what a powerful destiny of you. He wants you to know what, because you know what? The news is controlled by bad news. And I don't care who's in office, they just switch the script, but it's still negativity, right? I mean, we had a Republican in office, and it was all the bad stuff, the hate and all that. Then we get a Democrat in office, and now it's the gas price. It don't matter who's in office, you know, the news is going to give us the bad news. The bad news is it's costing a lot of new stuff right now. The bad news is inflation's going out of control. The bad news is there's hunger. The bad news is there's a drug addiction problem. The bad news is we've got all kinds of disease still, although it's doing some better, thank God. And so, bad news. But I'm here to preach good news. I'm here to tell you about the good news. The world wants to give you an identity of defeat, of bad times, of struggle. This is a struggle, but I'm here to tell you, you are a great generation, that God did not bring us this far to let us rot on a vine. God is taking us across the Jordan. God has good things in store for you. God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for you. And I can't wait to tell you about it. And I'm going to use this picture one more time in a minute, because Dwayne painted that picture, and it's an awesome picture, and I can't get it out of my head. Last week, we had some ladies sharing their testimony, and the picture came the same day, and I just thought it all fit together. And God really downloaded that word last week, started it in the service, but you know, we didn't have time to do the message. But I want to give this message. So Mark, Gospel of Mark, the Gospel are the first four books of the New Testament. Of course, that's called the Gospel because it is the good news, and it's the life of who? Life of who? Yeah, we got to do better than that. We're in church. Who are we here to worship? Jesus. Come on, man. Yes. So we're going to read from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to start in Mark 4 and 35. And I'm going to try my best just to read it through. And a few verses, about 26 verses. We're going to go from Mark 35 through the end of Mark 4, 35 through the end of Mark 4. And we're going to get into Mark 5 and go through verse 20. So if you're ready to, I'm going to read out of the Passion. And your Bible may look just a little bit different, but it'll be the same thing, just different words. All right, here we go. And you're welcome to stand, or if you don't have the ability to stand, you don't have to. Later that day, after it grew dark, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. After they had sent the crowd away, they shoved off from shore with him as he had been teaching from the boat. Let me just say, he had just been giving parables and preaching on the shore, okay? Now let's go back to the word. And there were other boats that sailed with them. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. So they shook him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you care that we're all about to die?" Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush! Calm down!" And all at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Haven't you learned to trust yet?" But they were overwhelmed with fear and awe and said to one another, "Who is this man who has such authority that even the winds and waves obey him?" Now I'm going to skip to on to chapter 5. So now they arrived at the other side of the lake, at the region of the Gadarene. As Jesus stepped ashore, a demon-possessed madman came out of the graveyard and confronted him. The man had been living among the tombs of the dead, and no one was able to restrain him, not even with chains. For every time they attempted to chain his hands and feet with shackles, he would snap the chains and break the shackles into pieces. He was so strong that no one had the power to subdue him. Day and night he could be found lurking in the cemetery or in the vicinity, shrieking and mangling himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran to him and threw himself down before him, screaming out at the top of his lungs, "Leave me alone, Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Swear in God's name you won't torture me." For Jesus had already said to him, "Come out of that man, you demon spirit." Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" "Mob," or legion, he answered. "They call me Mob because there are thousands of us in his body." And he begged Jesus repeatedly not to expel them out of the region. Nearby, there was a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside, and the demons begged him, "Send us into the pigs. Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. Your demons have to ask permission. Come on. There ain't no battle. It's Mother Mary. It's Jesus. May I? And the demon horde immediately came out of the man and went into the pigs. This caused the herd to rush madly down the steep slope and fall in the lake, drowning about 2,000 pigs. Now the herdsmen fled to the nearby villages, telling everyone what they saw as they ran through the countryside. And everyone came out to see what had happened. And when they found Jesus, they saw the demonized man sitting there, properly clothed in his right mind. Seeing what had happened to the man who had thousands of demons, the people were terrified. Those who witnessed the miracle reported the news to the people and included what had happened to the pigs. Say it again. Let me repeat this. Those who witnessed this miracle reported the news to the people, but they also included what had happened to the pigs. Then they asked Jesus to leave their region. "Get out, Jesus. We don't want you." And Jesus began to get in the boat and depart. And the man who had been set free from the demons asked Jesus, "Could I go with you?" Jesus said, "No. But go back to your home and your family and you tell them what the Lord has done. Tell them how he had mercy on you." So the man left and went to the region of Jordan and parts of Syria. Woo! And told everyone he met about Jesus and what he had done for him. And all the people marveled. You may be seated. All right. We got a lot to unpack. Miss Vanna White, please come up here. Grab my picture real quick, please, ma'am. I'm going to just say this again, then we're going to get into the Word. Hold it up so everybody can see it. Beautiful picture that Dwayne did. He did that in 2017. Those women got up and talked about storms and tempests last week and their lives, and they talked about where they are now, and there's hope. And so what I thought about is, you know, the week before, Dwayne had testified about how he had this stage 3 cancer diagnosis and how God has just brought him through it miraculously, and he feels a call to go around and tell people what God has done for him. That was in 2021, but this was 4 years earlier. And so I thought, man, when Dwayne painted this picture of this peaceful water, I don't know what was going through his mind. I doubt it was stage 3 colon cancer, right? And so I thought, as those women were testifying, and I got my picture, and it was brand new last week. Didn't know it was coming last week. It just showed up, and I was happy. This is going to go in our living room. But I thought, wow, this is kind of like before the storm. And then as those women began testifying, because this was 4 years before the cancer. And sometimes in life, that's how we're doing. We're just riding on our boat. We think everything's great. And then, bam, we get hit. I'm sorry. Okay. And so we get hit. And we don't know how to react with storms. But then I started thinking, no, even though this was 2017, I think what God wanted to show us is this is after the storm. Those women were giving their testimony about how they had hope now. And to me, it was like they were saying up here, we went through some stuff, but now we know Jesus and there's hope. And I'm not saying there's never going to be another storm. That boat's going to see a few more storms. But there are some calm waters ahead. There are some times of peace ahead. There are some times of restoration ahead. There is love ahead. There's peace with God ahead. There's peace within your soul ahead. You might be battling the devil, my friend, but you have peace with God and you have peace in your soul, because that is what life is like on the other side of the storm. So, Dwayne, with your permission, I don't know what you called it when you painted it, but it's like a dog. You know, I can buy a dog named Fido, but when I get it, I'm going to name him what I want to name him. So I'm going to name this picture After the Storm, okay? And that's the way I'm going to call it. What, did you have a name for it? Well, now it has a name. And when you painted that, God knew it was going to be called After the Storm. He knew you were going to go through cancer. He knew you were going to be here today. He knew you were going to testify about what God had done for you. And he knew how God was going to use this. She called me Pat Sajak. So you don't think it's one-sided. You know what's funny? She laughs about this. She laughs because she says, because I'm so big and gruff and when I'm preaching, she thinks people think I'm mean. And she says it's so funny because she really just bosses me around. I'm like a big dog and I just do whatever she asks. So she gets a kick out of that. Any of you that believe that, okay. This is a powerful story I just read in the Bible, and it's true, but a couple points before I get into where God, I think, wants to take us about after the storm. Number one, why was Jesus rebuking the disciples? Why did he have a problem with their lack of faith? I guess he's teaching them something. But, I mean, they're in the middle of the night. They're on a lake, and their world is getting rocked by a violent storm. How many knows that might be a reason to be concerned? How many of you went through storms in the middle of the night, and maybe physical storms, maybe tornadoes, maybe hurricanes, maybe just violent thunderstorms, or maybe it's just where your life is turned upside down and you don't know where you're going to go, and it feels like everything you know or believed in has dropped and fallen out, and you just don't have anywhere else to turn. Miss Selena, have you been there? I believe you have, and I believe we all have. We've been at a point where it feels like our life has been rocked, our boat is rocked, and we don't know how to get out of the storm. Have you been there? And we would honestly commend the disciples, because what I would tell Josh, if Josh were to come to me in that situation, I'd say, turn to Jesus. Well, they turned to Jesus, and Jesus wasn't very happy with that. I mean, isn't it enough that we turn to Jesus? But Jesus rebuked them for that, because he had taught them. He said, look, I've given you authority over the winds and the waves. Why are you waking me up when I've already given you the power? Listen. I've heard people be mad at pastors because they couldn't get him at 2:00 in the morning. Now, most of the time, you will probably get him. I don't know. I sleep sound. You probably won't get me till morning, maybe. You might. You can come to my house. In fact, Dad came to my house the other night, and I was napping after church. Had the preacher. We call it preacher flu because you're so wore out after you preach. And I was dead asleep. You remember that? And he's scared. What's wrong? Because when somebody knocks on your door and you're in the middle of a dead sleep, I'm thinking somebody's dead. And there was an issue we had to take care of and got the privilege and blessing to take care of. I wasn't upset about it, but it scares you to be woke in the middle of the night. And so a lot of times people, they get mad when they can't get their preacher in the middle of the night. And there's nothing wrong with going to your preacher. I want to pray with you. I want to help you. And I know he does too. I know he gets great purpose in that, but I'm here to tell you that we are here to equip you to be able to rebuke the storms in your life. We're here to equip you to go change the world. We're here to equip you to pray over sick people. So when you have a sick baby, yes, I'll be glad to agree in prayer over you, but there's nothing wrong with you being empowered to put your own hands, your own oil on that baby and command that baby to be well in Jesus' name. So what Jesus was upset about was he had already told them where they were going. He had already said, we are going on the other side of the lake. So why did they doubt it? God has already told some of you, all of you, all of us, that we have a purpose and we are going somewhere. So when the storms hit, the proper response is not, I know it's human, but the proper response is don't panic and doubt that we're getting there, but understand we're getting there. Might we face a few devils along the way? Yes. Might we have to rebuke a few storms along the way? Yes. Might we have to battle a few things along the way? Yes. But if he told you you were going there, you're going to get there, my friend. We're getting there together. So that was the problem from this perspective of Jesus and the disciples, is he'd already told them where they're going. He already told you, I have a plan to prosper you, not to harm you. He already told you that I appointed you to be a prophet before you were formed in your mother's womb. He already prophesied to you that you have a purpose and a plan, that you're the head, not the tail, that you're more than a conqueror, that greater things shall you do. His word has already said that. You don't need nothing wrong with it, but you don't need a Pentecostal grandma to lay that word on you. It's in the word of God. If she does it, more power to her. That's more of it. That's confirmation. But the word of God says these things if we believe them over our life. So they face a storm. Now let me say this. I've said this before. There's storms and there's tempests, and there's a difference. Storms happen to all of us. You say, well, I came to Jesus and then then I still had problems. You're always going to have problems. Rains on the just and unjust. This world, it's the side effect of a fallen man. There's one way in and one way out, and there's tears on both. There's pain on both. There's one way in, one way out, and there's pain on every side. And in the middle, there's some pain. Now, I'm not saying life is miserable. I told you, I'm here to encourage you today. I think we can find joy despite a few storms. There's going to be sunshine, too. The sun shines on everybody's backside every once in a while. I'm telling you, there's going to be sunshine. There's going to be bad times. There's going to be loss. There's going to be gain. You're going to have babies born. You're going to see people die. Things are going to happen on this planet. That's a storm. They're natural. It's not evil. Not everything that is stressful for us is evil. When your loved one goes to Jesus, that's not evil. That's the will of God. Thank God. That is God's grace. Oh, God, why are you so evil? My grandma went to Jesus. That's why he died and hung on a cross, so she could be with Jesus today. That's not evil. But there's storms that will happen in life. Tough things will happen. But then there's something called a tempest. And I want to differentiate that for you today. A tempest is not just a random storm that affects everybody. It's directed at a particular thing or movement or person. If I'm at the lake and there's a major storm and a lot of boats get rocked, it's just a storm. We need rain sometimes. But if that storm would be directed to only my boat, and its intention was to only come at me or my people, then it might be something else. It might be a tempest. A tempest is demonic. It's a storm. And we don't, we're talking storms, but I think you all get it's stuff going on in our lives, right? I mean, you guys get what I'm saying when I'm talking about storms. I'm not literally talking about a hurricane. A tempest is an attack that is directed at you supernaturally. It can be directed towards a church. It can be directed towards a ministry. It can be directed towards a family, or it can be directed towards you. And the purpose of it, now the devil would love to take you out. And that would probably be his number one purpose. But the secondary purpose, if he can't do that, is to discourage you from the purpose that you're put on this planet to be about. So if that tempest can get you to turn around on the course that God has you going on, where he told you to go, and it can discourage you to the point where you turn around, then that demon or those demons or the devil has done their job. Now you say, well, how do you know? You're saying all this stuff. Where's it said in the Bible? Well, I'll tell you how I know. God sends the seasons. God sends the rain. God sends the sunshine, right? Joy and pain, like sunshine and rain. That's old school. What year is that, Sal? Huh? Yeah. Oh. No. That song I sung, Sal. You're supposed to sing it with me, Sal. God sends the rain. God sends the storms. The Bible calls this a tempest, number one. But number two, Jesus rebuked the storm. Now, if God sends a storm and Jesus is only about the will of the Father, Jesus is never going to rebuke the Father. For Jesus to rebuke or yell at and command a storm shows you that the origin of the storm is demonic and subject to the power and authority of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. For Jesus to yell at the storm, to raise his voice at the storm, to rebuke at the storm, shows that the attack was demonic. And there's times in our life we got to learn to surf in a few storms, but there's times in our life we've got to recognize demonic attack and have the authority and power and strength and backbone to speak against those attacks and tell them to hush, be calm. But you can't turn around and go back. Can't turn around and go back. So this was no ordinary storm. It was a demonic storm. Targeted specifically. And we have those in our lives. I've heard people say, just as I got saved, man, something hit at me. Could have been random. But you got to look at certain facts when you ask it. Number one, is it targeted? Number two, does it make no sense? A lot of times tempests don't make sense. You can see a weather storm pattern. They track them all across the country. They change day to day. But, you know, there's odds, and you can watch this thing form and develop and scatter and move. But when something just comes out of a blue sky and don't make no sense, and somebody's got a problem with you, don't have no reason to have no problem with you, or if it's targeted towards your faith or your church or your beliefs or your new salvation or something of that nature, when it's targeted towards something that's like purposed of God, you got to ask yourself, what's going on? What is this? Is this a storm? Or is this a tempest? Now, let me ask you this question. Are you guys following along all this? This is just the background basis. So you don't have to believe, but do you understand that we're talking about, the Bible here is talking about a tempest. And I'm preaching to you today about tempests, things that come against you to attack you, to discourage you, to turn you around. Listen, God is not bipolar. I've had people come here and God told me to do this. 6 months later, well, now God's telling me to do this. God is not bipolar. If he told you to be about something, then stop listening to the devil and put your sail straight ahead and get to the other side of the lake.
Amen.
God's not bipolar. If he really told you to be about something, then be about it. If he didn't, don't be about it. But I think sometimes we're always looking for signs and signals to affirm our fears and affirm our doubts. I'm scared, so God, I believe you've changed your mind. God don't change his mind. He can change his mind. I'm not saying he's never changed his mind, because you can plead with God. I can give you that scripture too. But God on his own does not just say, oh, I'm just fickle. I just changed my mind today. I wanted you to be about that, Johnny, but I've changed my mind. We might change our mind. We might be fickle. We might be bipolar. We might doubt. We might have fear. We might change our mind. But God has still told you to get to the other side of the lake, because we got business on the other side of the lake. So a tempest is designed to cause you to change your mind, to discourage you, to destroy you, to defeat your purpose. Now, in this Bible account, what something that happened, truly happened on the Sea of Galilee over 2,000 years ago. My question is this. Who was the tempest? We said it's targeted, correct? A tempest is targeted. A demonic storm is targeted. Who was the tempest targeted to or toward? Disciples, demon, who else? Huh? I hear some voice. You gotta be loud. I'm old. Jesus. Okay, we got all kinds. We got three answers. Well, there's only three types of people in this story, so we're gonna hit one of them. Whose? A lot of different answers. Let me stop you. For years, I've taught this would be meant to deter Jesus and the disciples, because it makes sense. It's hitting their boat. Let me ask you this. All right, you all got your chance. Good. Good job. All of you are good. But if it was against Jesus, let me ask you this question, or the disciples. He was just on the lake teaching and preaching. Why didn't the storm hit him there? Or when he left the Gadarene and went back across the lake, waiting on him, as soon as he got off the boat, was Jairus, a 12-year-old girl and his 12-year-old dead daughter that Jesus was getting ready to resurrect, and a woman with the issue that was getting ready to get healed. Why didn't the demon attack him then? He could have stopped Jairus' daughter from being raised from the dead. He could have took away the woman with the issue. How many times have we preached that? That wouldn't be in the Bible. So if the demon was trying to stop Jesus and the disciples, why did it only come at him when he was crossing to this one little area? There was something about the Gadarene. There was something about the Gadarene. When Jesus got to the other side of the lake, he only did one miracle that we know of. Now, I want you to take a look at this. When Jesus got to the other side of the lake, the only miracle we know of he did is he encountered a Gadarene. Then he got on the boat and went straight back, and no tempest got in the way. No tempest got in the way of a lot of other miracles. The only time the tempest came was when he went across to get one man. That's the only time. I mean, it seems to me Jairus' daughter, a 12-year-old little girl, how pure, how innocent. Devil, wouldn't the devil not want her to live? Why would the devil care about the gathering? Why would the devil send the storm to intercept Jesus on the way to do one miracle? On the other side of the lake, he did thousands when he got back. Why did the devil care so much about that one miracle? Dale, you're getting away all the ends of the story. Hush. Nobody likes a show off, Dale. I'm just kidding with you, Dale. I'm just kidding with you. There was something about the Gadarene. And quite honestly, the fact that to think about the fact that the devil of all of Jesus' miracles, I mean, Jairus was a religious ruler. His daughter was a preacher's kid. He was a leader of the temple, a holy man. And Jesus did heal his daughter. But the devil never sent a tempest to stop him. When the man was the paralyzed man beside the pool, laying there, the devil never sent a tempest to stop Jesus and going and saying, pick up your mat and walk. Do you want to be well? When Jesus went to the woman at the well, the devil never sent a storm in the desert and said to prevent him from ministering to this lady. But when he went across the lake to see this Gadarene, hell unleashed all of its fury at Jesus and the disciples. And I have to ask myself, as Holy Spirit started working this out to the painting, what is it about the Gadarene? I mean, the world had thrown away the Gadarene. If we look at the world's value, that would have been the last person the devil should worry about. I've always heard, well, if you ain't going through nothing, devil's already got you. Well, the devil had the Gadarene, but he was still fighting pretty hard. He was still fighting pretty hard. Why? I mean, we wouldn't value the Gadarene. This guy's laying out in a graveyard. I mean, we deal with dysfunctional people all the time. We've been in at death row in Angola, and we had a guy shriek and put up his hands and says, why have you come to torment me? We didn't even say nothing, man. We just walked by him. You don't think that's demonic? Or how about me and Will, Fresh Prince Will up there, Pastor Will, walking along the streets of Knoxville, and a man start talking demonic, and we said, you, this is the blood of Jesus, Jack. You ain't got no authority here. And he ran away shrieking. Did he not, Will? Huh? Say it loud, because I want him to hear it. Why would the devils try to protect this one dude? What is it? Because we as a society don't value that guy. He's worthless. I mean, we would give him a death penalty. I mean, he's evil. You don't think cutting yourself's evil? Kids going through cutting, it's not just a phase. I'm not saying they're evil. I'm saying it's oppression. They're oppressed. They're hurting. They got demonic oppression, not possession. That means the devil's making them miserable. We got to pray. We got to deliver them. We got to see them out of that thing, man. But it's not just teenagers doing it. We might not, you and I may not take a razor blade to an area nobody sees. But maybe we also hurt ourselves in ways because we just don't know what else to do. Huh? Maybe we do things intentionally. You say, I don't know why I keep doing that. It's just making my life worse. I just keep doing hurtful things. I don't know why I keep doing it. Because we're taking stones and we're hurting ourselves. Because we're oppressed and we're struggling and we don't have freedom in our lives. This man was hanging out among dead things. A lot of people don't hang around dead things. Remember at the tomb, why do you seek the living among the dead? If you're in this room and you're hanging around dead people, dead things, and dead lifestyles, you're not free. You need to get free. I don't care if you've been to this altar 38 times. You're not free because live people don't hang out with dead things. And so this man would have been hanging out with dead things, uncontrollable, couldn't be contained. There's times you see people, addiction or depression. I don't care what it is. I've seen marriages this way. You can't control it. It makes no sense. It's like they break every. You can restrain a person all you, if their mind's not free, you can restrain them and they'll break every shackle. You can send them to rehab. You can send them to counseling. You can send them to a doctor. I'm not saying those things don't have a place, but the whole purpose of those things is to buy them enough time to find a man named Jesus. That's the only purpose, because they themselves are just shackles that will be broken time and time again. This man would have had no value to society. So why did the devil care so much? It's really striking, isn't it? Of all the characters in the Bible, this is the time that the devil sent a storm to discourage Jesus. But not only does the devil cue us in on how important the Gadarene is, how about the fact that Jesus cues us in? He's taught all day. It's nighttime. And he tells his disciples, all right, we got to go to the other side. They go all night across the water at some point. They land on the other side. They see one man. And they leave and go right back. Now, if I told Josh and Roman and some of you guys, Steve, Gerald, a bunch of us, let's 11 o'clock tonight, let's drive up to Roanoke or somewhere. We drive all the way up there and we go on the side of the street and there's a guy laying there with nothing on, home, some kind of struggling guy. And we pray for that guy and we get in the van and say, all right, boys, let's go home. Some of you guys have a problem with me, Joe. Probably have meeting over me. What? Well, that's right. That's right. I've done it before. But that's what Jesus did. Jesus left all these people needing things on the shore. Don't you think they had needs in their lives? Jesus is a finite resource at that time. He's not now through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's good news. But at that time, he was a finite resource. What do I mean by that? He had 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 3.5 years. That's all he had time to do. So whatever he could do, as much as he could do in that 3.5 years is what he did. Now through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no finite. You can... We can be healing people all over the globe at once. It's unlimited. But at that time, Jesus had limited time. He left all those people behind to go see that one guy. That guy, the devil's sending tempest. Jesus is leaving everybody and sending everybody on this mission. This must be an important dude. But he's a demoniac. What value do we have in people like that? Homeless, addicted. What value do they have? Apparently a lot. Apparently a lot. Apparently enough that's the whole reason that Jesus went across there, and that's the whole reason the devil fought so hard to prevent that. The devil, there's something about the Gadarene. And not only did the devil send a storm, and not only did Jesus go all the way across there, how about the fact that he had 6,000 devils guarding him? Demons. You think this guy's a joke? He was on lockdown. 6,000 demons guarding him to make sure nobody or no thing got to him. Think about that. Now, I don't know about you, but one devil's a handful. You don't think the devil had value in this guy that he assigned 6,000 of his dudes to guard him? Come on, man. Have you ever thought of this? If he was worthless, why'd he give you 6,000 troops? Could you imagine one soldier in a foreign land being held POW and the other army putting 6,000 soldiers around him, guarding him? There must be something powerful about this one guy. I mean, one would be locked down. Demons are powerful things. We act like they're buffoons. And I know compared to Jesus, they are. But I'm here to tell you they were angelic beings that fell. They're not buffoons. They're way more powerful than you in your own flesh. I'm here to promise you that. They're smarter than you and me. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit do we have authority and victory. This cat had 6,000. You remember when Jesus was put in the tomb? They put a few soldiers around the grave. They didn't put 6,000. They put a few. But they put 6,000 over this guy. But you know what happened? You can't keep live things in dead places if you're really alive. If you're really alive. On that third morning, like Steve said, it didn't matter how many soldiers were there. It didn't matter how big the rock was. The rock rolled away and he got up out of the grave. I'm here to tell you, it don't matter if the devil had 6,000 or 600,000 troops. When Jesus' foot hit the other side of the Gadarene, then the live thing inside him was not going to stay in a dead place. Now, we would look at that guy as hopeless. And in honesty, I got to say this, Roman. I'm not trying to preach your message, but Roman went to prison Friday, and we had an awesome prison service. Miss Cammie was there rocking, and Teresa had to do an impromptu song, and she did an awesome job. And Gary was the ambassador of joy, and Gerald opened up in a powerful prayer and got us going, and Will prayed and beat the drums, and Val and Jenny played and sung and everything else they do, and Lakin gave a powerful prayer, and Roman gave a powerful word, and you know, but the word was this. Sometimes when we come to Jesus, or even other people come to Jesus, we don't trust their freedom. So we treat them like they're released from jail, but you're on probation. So you're free a little bit until you mess up, then we pull your papers. Isn't that what you pretty much preach, Romo? On paper. So we're teaching people, Christians, that you're on paper. You're okay till you mess up, then you're back in jail. And they believe that, and so when they mess up, they quit coming to church because they violated. They violated. But we in the church, if we're not careful, we treat people that way. You're pretty good. You got a little Jesus. You better not mess up. I'm not saying there's not repercussions. I'm not saying you don't have to be rehabilitated. I'm not saying there's not a path. But there's a path, and we don't send people back to jail or pretend they're not free just because they mess up. They're not on papers. Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you're walking around, I'll be honest with you. Until Roman said this, I didn't even perceive this. But my whole Christian walk, I've acted in my life, my mind, like I was on papers, just waiting for the mess up and thinking when I do, I'm not free anymore. And what Holy Spirit said through Roman's message, incarcerated in a prison, was you're not on papers. You are flat. You don't owe anybody nothing. Jesus paid the price. So, the Gadarene we would look at as hopeless. But there had to be a little life in there. Don't ever call anybody hopeless. A man spending 24 hours a day in a prison who can't be controlled, who can't be chained, who cuts himself, who moans, who shrieks, who has 6,000 demons possessing him. That looks hopeless. Drugs sometimes look hopeless. Emotional problems sometimes look hopeless. Life situations sometimes look hopeless. But there's always a little bit of life left. And when Jesus left to go across that lake, it really wasn't about the 6,000. It was about the one. A lot of people think this is a mano a mano, Jesus. There was no fight, man. I mean, he said, but they come begging, God, oh, Jesus, you're in the cup. But please, just give us permission to go commit suicide or something. Don't torture us. It wasn't about the 6,000. It was about the one. And it was about the one the rest of the world forgot about. But not Jesus. And so, Jesus did something powerful that day. He demonstrated grace. And he let that man be free. And that man had lived his whole life in the tempest. And he got to step out on the other side of the storm that day. And as Dale, my A+ student back there, the nerd he is, said, there was something special about that Gadarene. Because what he did is he went from Jordan, Syria, and all around. He was an evangelist. Well, what kind of seminary did he go to? Who did he sit under? You know what he did? He got free. He got free. And he went around being an evangelist. He was a Billy Sunday. He was an Evan Roberts. He was a Billy Graham. I mean, this gathering was a Billy Graham 2,000 years ago, going around amazing people, telling them about Jesus in Syria and in Jordan. He didn't just stay in his hometown. And that, my friend, is not only why Jesus went all the way over there, and that's not, my friend, not only why the devil fought so hard, but it's why Jesus wouldn't let him come with him. He said, I got the other side of the lake locked down. Why don't you take care of things over here? Why don't you do a little damage over here? I'll take care. Sometimes Jesus says, you take care of your side of the lake, and somebody else will take care of the other side. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. He didn't call me or your pastor necessarily to go in your family and preach the gospel. He called you to go to your family and preach the gospel. He called you to go to your work and preach the gospel. He called you to stand out in front of the devils in your work and be Jesus when nobody else has the guts to be Jesus. He called you to stand out. He called me to stand out. He called us all. Whether you ever stand on a pulpit or not, whether you give a testimony in a public forum or not, you have encounters every day where you get to be Jesus. And what stops us most of the time is that we don't want to stand out. Or we say, this isn't the place. The bank's not the place. The law firm, I mean, that's not law. Not the place. Johnny, I disagree. We can only be Jesus, or we got to be a house divided against itself, can't fall, can't stand. You got one way to be. And if you got a split personality and you're one way this place and one way that place, my friend, then you're not free. You need to get free. You got a split personality disorder, and it's time Jesus delivered you that too. It's time to be free. For that dysfunctional man. You know what? I got to say this. He's sitting over the other side of the lake, going nuts like he was doing, right? Whatever he was doing. Cutting himself, shrieking, all that evil stuff. And he sees out on the lake a storm. You ever seen storms out on the water? The ocean, you can see them for miles. You can see those they're like tornadoes on the water. What are they called? Spout, water spouts. Squalls out. No. There's a point for somebody playing in the back. I don't know what they're doing. That man would have been on the other side of the lake in that graveyard. The graveyard must have been right near the shore, because Jesus stepped out, and as soon as he stepped out, it says the man ran. So the man's proximity would have been close to the lake. They just came through that huge tempest. The man would have been on the other side. Watch. I don't know if he got any of the winds and stuff. He might have got it too. Or he might have just could see it. But he was watching that storm. And I wonder what he thought about it. I wonder what we think sometimes when we watch our storms and we see them coming at us. And we get scared and worried. But I wonder if he knew that Jesus was coming through the other side. Sometimes we look at the storm and we think it's going to take us down. And we don't realize we're just on the back side of the storm. And Jesus is coming through. It's like we're on the other side. Hello from the other side. But Jesus is coming. There's hope on the other side of your storm. His name is Jesus. And you may not be possessed. There may not be anybody in this room possessed. Or you may be. There may be possession in this room. I'd be glad to talk. If there's a demon in this room that's possessing someone, I would be glad to talk to them. But I guarantee you there is oppression. I guarantee you there is oppression in this room. In a room this size, there are people who are being oppressed. But when Jesus called you to be free and free indeed, I promise you, he did not call you to be oppressed. So if we're in this room being oppressed, we're allowing it. Remember the demon told Jesus, give me permission. We are giving oppression permission to operate in our life by the choices we are making and the things we're doing and not doing. It's time we take ownership and authority and live free today and kick out every squatting spirit. We got squatting spirits, man. They have no right. They have no legal authority to have possession of this property. But they're squatters. And it's time to evict the squatters and live free. Coming to a close. Got 2 minutes. I just want to say this point and we're going to close. The devil isn't smart, but he didn't outsmart Jesus. The devil allowed this to happen to prove. Jesus allowed this to happen to teach something. Remember, this is in the Bible, so this would preach for thousands of years. Why did the devils, the 6,000 plus, want to go in the pigs? And they died immediately. So why did they ask to be in the pigs? You've asked that, haven't you? Anybody thought of that? Seemed like a weird last request. You get one last request, devil. What do you want? I want to be bacon for 1 minute. I mean, eat bacon I would get, but be bacon, I don't know. You know why? Because the devil was getting beat, but he had one more chance to dissuade this man's purpose. Not Jesus's, the Gadarenes. He had one last chance to dissuade the Gadarenes' purpose. I can't do nothing about all those in Syria and Jordan. But I'm going to hack some people off right here because they're going to have to make a choice today. Do they value their money or do they value the one hurting man? Do they value the comfort of their lives or the one man that nobody else cares about? Because those pigs that we look at as worthless and Jews looked at as unclean to that region, that was $250,000 worth of livestock. That devil and he, those 6,000 devils, when they went down, they took out somebody's 250. That was worse than that bank hack. They took out $250,000 worth of property. And those people on that island, that area, had a choice. Do we value what Jesus valued? Do we value what Jesus values? Or do we value what goes in our money, our bank account, our comfort, our lifestyle, our peace? A lot easier not to go to prison, my friend, to go after one dude. I mean, that, a lot easier than go back and pick up somebody homeless. But I pass them by the road. Do we value what Jesus values, or is our time, our schedule, our convenience, our security, our safety? What do we value? Because the Bible says the people that live there close by got upset and told Jesus to get out. Jesus just kicked out 6,000 devils, and a bunch of materialistic people just kicked out Jesus. They just kicked out Jesus. Do you get that? I'm not saying this. Your Bible says they told him to leave. And some of you don't like this message, and I don't care. We got to value what Jesus values. Let me here tell you something. As much as the world wants to tell you everything stinks right now, there's a revival getting ready to break loose in this land. And I believe with all my heart, oh man, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I don't care. I think it's going to be led by tatted up ex-offenders, ex-drug addicts. I think some Gadarenes are getting free, and they're going to change some stuff on the other side of the lake, if you get what I'm saying. On the other side of the storm, revival is coming. On the other side of the storm, dead people are getting out of graves. On the other side of the storm, cancer shall be eradicated. On the other side of the storm. And so if we're in this room and we're like the Gadarene and we're going through oppression and misery and stress and struggle and storms, I'm here to tell you that life is on the other side of the storm. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to set you free. I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to tell your tempest to shut up and be still. I'm here to tell you that Jesus has given you that same authority today. And if you're not in the Gadarene shoes, and you're like those townspeople, we got a choice today. What do we want? Do we want our comfortable lives, which really isn't that comfortable anymore when you really think about it? Or do we want to go with the Gadarene to revival? Do we want to see water walkers? Do we want to see blind eyes open? Do we want to see this stuff? We won't see. We can play with our pigs, or we can follow a Gadarene who's following Jesus. I ain't about playing no pig. I'll eat a few. I'll barbecue one. But I'm not here to play with pigs. But I am here to see dead men walk and dead men change the world. I'm here to see the Gadarenes of the world get out of their graves. That all the dead people will get up today on July 3rd, almost July 4th, 2022, Independence Day. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring in this room, no matter what you're going through. Let freedom ring. We're done. Thank you for being patient. I do want to say this real quick. And I want to pray. We've been having trouble in prison. I appreciate those that are going. I appreciate those that are praying. If you can't go, don't. Some people feel the need to apologize. You don't have to apologize to me, I promise you. If God's called you to go, you should be there, but that's up to you. If God hasn't called you to go, you pray for me, okay? That's all I ask. Because I'm going after Gadarenes, and you may not see it. I don't care if you see it or not. I ain't playing pigs. I'm going after Gadarenes. And you can go after Gadarenes other places. They're not just in prison. They're in your workplace. They're in the community. But we got to open our eyes. And we got to be inconvenienced a little bit. But they're battling in prison, and we can't get any traction. It's like a tempest. I believe it is a tempest. And I don't believe the tempest is meant to discourage us. I believe there's some Gadarenes in that joint. And it's meant to keep them from something we have. It's not about us. I don't think, I mean, I may be a little bit of a threat to, you know, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? I don't know if, I believe the devil knows my name, but, you know, whatever, I don't know. But I do know this, I believe there's some Gadarenes in that joint, and I believe the devil is throwing hell at us to keep us from reaching them. Roman, your word was timely. Your word was on point. But I'm telling you, there's tempests coming against us. And you know it every time we go in that place. You know it. You know it. Every time we go in that place, it's a struggle right now. It didn't used to be that way. And it's because something's getting ready to break loose. But I believe the same thing's happening out. The same thing's happening out here. Why do you think all this COVID? Why do you think all this racial? Why do you think all this stuff? Why is the devil fighting so hard? Because he's desperate. He knows the threat is here. It's code red. It's code red. God's people are ready to launch revival in the land. I said I come here to encourage you because no matter what you're going through today, what kind of storms or tempests or battles, I'm here to tell you that God told me to tell you that there is life on the other side of the storm, and that He is the storm whisperer, and He has given you authority to talk to your storms, and He has come to call you to go to the Jordan and the Syria and to the Ramsey and to the south side and to the Wise and to the east side and to you all the places. And preach the gospel and preach what? Freedom. We got enough people talking gloom. He's called you today. You're not on papers, Romo. You're flat, you're free, and you're free indeed. And if you're not free today, I'm calling you into freedom. So every head bowed, thank you for being patient. If there's anybody in this room, you say, I know some storms. I've been going through some storms. It's been stormy. I feel like the devil's been after me, man. I can feel some storms. There's been stress in my life. People at work, people at school, people in my family, voices in my head, stuff going on. Nobody's looking around. If you're battling this morning, you're in a battle. You're not quit. You're here. You've not quit, but you're battling. Would you raise your hand with me? I won't point you out. I just want to know if there's fighters in this room. Oh, if you're in a storm right now, if you know you're in a storm, if you know what oppression feels like, if you know what it's like to have, seem like everything you're trying to do is good, but it's like the devil keeps coming against you, just raise your hand with me all over this room. I want to know who I can pray for. Who I can pray for. The God is, Jesus has come for you today. Those with raised hands, He didn't come for the pig players. I'm sorry, if you're a pig player, just sit this one out, okay? He came for those that want to change. He come for those that want to be free. And if you want to be free today, today's your chance to be free. You just got to walk through your storm and get to the other side and trust Jesus. So I'm going to count to three. And if you need prayer or you need freedom or you know what? Maybe you're one of those guys that's been pick players. You say, I need to go back and get on in the game. Then I'm going to invite you to come forward and you make it right with God right here. This is your day to leave your dead places. I don't care what dead places you've been involved in. If you want to get free today, when I count to three, one, two, three, move, move, move. Do you want freedom? Do you want freedom? Do you want real freedom? Are you tired of sitting where you're sitting? Are you tired of sitting where you're sitting? You know there's more levels. You know there's more levels. But just come forward today. Today is your day. God loves you. God cares about you. You're not a nobody. You're a somebody. He sent me for you. Come on. If God's talking to your heart, you feel a weird need to come forward, you don't know what that means, just come forward. Just come forward. I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you. If you say, you know what, I don't know why, but I feel this weird feeling in my gut. I just got this weird feeling like I should go up there. Then come on. Come on. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? Give Him a chance. Come on. Give it a try. Give it a try. Give it a try. Just going to pray with you. That's all. I'm not going to embarrass you. Come on. Come on. They're going to play some music. If you feel a desire right now to find out what this is about, then come on.